Well, good evening and welcome to the Vibrational Voyage program on KKUP Cupertino 91.5 FM. Nice to be with you this evening. You know, there was a big celestial event that was occurring just in these last few hours. It's actually still happening. But it's one that's not immediately obvious. I mean, the eclipse that happened today, if you were anywhere that it was visible, that would have been pretty obvious. But, you know, I listened to late last night when the eclipse was just happening in England and nobody was seeing it. That was kind of surprising. Of course, you know, I've been to England a couple times and it's not always clear there. It seems to be kind of rare that it's clear, especially early in the morning. And that's when it was happening. I think it was around 9 o'clock it was supposed to start. And so that was about, 1 a.m. here. That was when it was at the peak. And so I guess at least probably half an hour or an hour before that it was supposed to be starting. It was kind of a lengthy event. Well, anyway, I guess in Egypt I saw some people tweeting that they could see the eclipse happening or they were going to view the eclipse someplace. So, you know, it's easy to imagine that the skies over Egypt might be nice and clear, easy to view the eclipse. The shadow went kind of from the northwestern part of Africa, up over England and Europe, and then over toward the Middle East and toward Central Asia. I believe India got a pretty good view late in their day of the full brunt. But I think that the darkest part of the shadow fell toward the northern extent of the sunlight, where the sunlight was. And I found a link on, I think it was the Wikipedia, about the actual event you could see. Well, in conjunction with that, and some of this I only discovered during this previous week, because I think I mentioned this event to you last week, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction happened almost exactly at the same time. It was occurring as the eclipse happened. It was exact at around 5 a.m. local time, about 4 a.m., I believe, about 3 hours after the exact time of the new moon. Well, what was also happening at the time of the eclipse was Venus was exactly squaring Neptune at the time of the eclipse. And then, amazingly, just a short time later, because everything's fairly lined up but in different signs, short time later, literally only a couple of hours later, when the conjunction with Jupiter and Uranus was exact, which was at about 4 a.m., at that point, Venus was making a very exact trine with Jupiter and Uranus. So it had a really marvelous resonance and kind of a tension and even a dysfunction that's kind of resonant in the Venus square Neptune. I mean, you can think of it as, Venus is love and Venus is beauty. And then with Neptune there, it's kind of like there's something that's not quite working correctly or appropriately. And it can be disruptive and it can be dysfunctional. Can be resonant with all sorts of things, things that are kind of where the consciousness and the vitality aren't working in a favorable way. Certainly, you know, dysfunction, abuse, that kind of thing. And so it felt like it has this very deep vibe that is resonant with what drives destructive behavior. So it was hitting me that, you know, there's this tension that's present, and it's a resonance to the, you know, some of this tension that's right inside of us. And yet, on the other side of that, a couple of hours later, we had this beautiful event where Venus, the planet of love, beauty, truth, is in this highly harmonious resonance with the last exact conjunction of Jupiter and Uranus. Won't happen again until 2024. And what that's doing right now, too, is it's setting up a spring equinox where the Sun and Uranus will be together exactly at the equinox. Uranus will be within about a half of degree. It'll be about 30 minutes into the first degree of Aries. And the Sun will be at 0 degrees Aries. That's what's coming for this spring equinox. And when I talked recently to a friend about it, he said, well, he said, that's the Aquarian age. That marks the beginning. It's a marker. That's a resonance with the beginning of the Aquarian age. And I thought, wow, that is a lovely observation. And the friend who made that remark in a brief conversation I was having just last night was my buddy Tiger, who's been a guest on this program many times. Well, tonight, he's a guest again. We had a conversation just a little bit earlier this evening, and I had just enough time to burn it off to a CD and bring it here for you. So, lovely conversation we had earlier in the evening, and so I wanted to bring that tonight for you and play it. So I have it. It's going to be starting here in just a few minutes. I need to kind of get everything lined up, and it'll, you know, forgive me here. It's kind of coming as it's coming. Okay. Thanks for tuning in to KKUP and to the Vibrational Voyage. All right. Thanks for listening. So we're doing the Vibrational Voyage tonight with Tiger Windwalker, and we have some very interesting events that we're navigating here in our recent experience. And only 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks and one night ago, was the big lunar eclipse and the solstice. The solstice actually followed the next day, so that was actually 2 weeks ago. And ever since then, we've been having a whole wild series of experiences, certainly including Christmas and New Year and everything that's been happening in the world in the intervening time. So there are some pretty interesting and amazing things that are happening and experiences. And there's a few of those that we'll touch on tonight. Tiger's got some recent experiences that he's going to share, too. So any place you want to start with any of this, Tiger, is a good place.
Well, thank you, Tony, for inviting me to be on your radio program again. I really appreciate it. I think what I'd like to do is just shoot out something that I wrote on Twitter, and then it's basically the poetic response to the astronomy. And I know that you and I have talked more and more about that now. About finding this integration between science and the arts, finding the soulful scientist, or at least the scientist that isn't intimidated by his own awe and wonder and reverting to repression, you know, because of his fixations with mathematics or whatever. I think a lot of what we're going through right now has to do with that. Specifically, finding a balance, a partnership with science and the arts as we go forward. And so I'm reminiscing about Albert Einstein, who was really an out-of-the-box. He was a very feelingful man. He was not the run-of-the-mill, dried-up scientist type. He had a lot of life in him, a lot of wisdom. Yeah. And so I'm kind of hearkening to that, of bringing back people and beings incarnating who have those qualities that we can do synthesis and integration. And the overall feeling that I have, because we also have the Neptune and Chiron together, is the overall feeling that I have about the time period we're in is integrate or die. That's how we would sum it up. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for a holistic synthesis and integration of our species and of us individually and our outlooks, the way we conceive and vision and feel, the planet that's beneath our feet and the stars that are above our head.
Yeah, man, it's there for us in all those dimensions. Well, everything that's going on here is connecting and reverberating, resonating with everything else. So we have, you know, very stressful, very painful, very heartbreaking events, very destructive events, and we also have radiant and ecstatic things that are going on here, all happening together somehow. And it's just this amazing thing. It seems to me maybe one of the things that we're up to as a species, you know, the artwork that we create as a beingness, as a human kindedness. To me, it seems that, you know, that there's an art in all of our activity, in everything that we express, in everything that we breathe into existence through our own knowing. That too is somehow connected in a presence, an artfulness that comes right through. I think that there's a potential for us to become a lot more playful and creative with our own experience, with our own. I think that's a big part of what we're kind of starting to discover, the practicalities of that.
It's hard to believe that human beings could get to the point where they're so compartmentalized, split off, and at odds with themselves and their characterology and their deeper essence, that we would even be having this conversation. Hmm. But here it is. And, you know, we have to look at a long buildup to where we are, a long crystallization process to the point now where we are crystallized in such a formation that it's going to take something very powerful to break that structure so that it can reformulate. And I do believe that, again, this is one of the themes of the epoch we're heading into now, is the decrystallization, the breaking of the crystal, the melting down of the crystal and form, freeing up the energy and the capacity to reformulate somehow differently. And hopefully the differently part is involved with our norms and our values and our visioning. All those Aquarian 11th house things, Aquarius, Uranian, desire to have a better world, you know, to have a world that's more humane, that's more compassionate. So let me just say that the crystalline forms are here. You know, they're definitely sitting in a lot of history, and the matrix is a profound historical development, and the crystals are here. And to me, it's a given that the crystals will be shattered. Now, people could argue about that. Well, what evidence do you have? But what I know as an astrologer is that you build up form, and then the form is broken down, and then it is then available. That basic substratum is available for other creative manifestations.
Yeah. Well, we have a number of things that are going on right now that are resonant with that kind of transformative type of process. And the thing that is developing right now, now that the Sun and Pluto have been together with the solstice now, and we've had this amazing eclipse, solar eclipse that just occurred. Now we're moving also and on towards, 3 months from now, the spring equinox. And that is an extraordinary event. With that one, the Sun will be exactly together with Uranus at 0 degrees Aries. And Uranus at 0 degrees Aries is only there once every 84 years, briefly. And so the Sun is going to be there together. Uranus will be at 31 minutes of the first degree of Uranus. So that one seems highly, highly beautiful and synchronous. And at the moment that that occurs, the moment that's going on, the Moon will be with the Jupiter-Saturn opposition. The Jupiter-Saturn opposition finishes off this year. And so in the spring, it looks like it's going to be concluding. And then Jupiter will be pressing on towards an inconjunct or 150-degree angle. But for these next few months, it's finishing its opposition with mm-hmm. Saturn. And the Moon will be there together with Saturn opposing yeah. Jupiter at the spring equinox. So that's a beautiful event. So it seems like, some of these events that we've been through in the last 25 years, for you, even longer, we've been getting attuned to seeing the beauty in these mechanics and in these resonances in experience. And so now we've been attuned to the point where we have some appreciation and some joy in attending to the subtleties of these things. And it's fascinating to be able to explore it, but actually just as fascinating to be able to kind of share something on the subject and to hear someone sharing their own experience on the subject. So really, any of these events that have just happened or this one that's coming up in March are a good place to talk about. And we've got probably a good 15 minutes or so here with the time that's allowed, that we're allowed tonight. So why don't we dive in? Any one of those places, maybe speak to some of the reverberations of some of those aspects,
I wanted to, because we were talking about, we could begin the program of talking about a synthesis between science and art.
Yeah.
And then artful living. And then, of course, you can't have art or an appreciation of art without, a very well-developed capacity to feel. And that then becomes connected to the Aquarian principle in vision, because we intuitively know at a gut level that the current crystalline setup isn't working. So in the big sandbox in the sky, we move around some items and maybe bury some of the old crystals. They're still in the sandbox. We just buried them. Bring something else up, play around in the sandbox of our wishes, our hopes and wishes, and feel it into existence. And I think the feeling is very important, because if anyone believes in the second coming of Christ, Christ isn't gonna come to deliver another book. The Christ is going to come as an experience, and it's an experience of heart and of unconditional love, and that's a feeling. Mm-hmm. You can't write a book about that.
Yeah,
that's a feeling and an experience, and somehow I feel that it's right now alien to our culture, because we're all tied up. We've all been tied up into the crystalline patterns of something that's been emerging for quite a long time. And it really, you know, our makeup is only partly crystalline. Then there's the other part of us that's rounded and curved and flowing, pulsating. You know, crystals seem to are very beautiful, but they're brittle. But living crystals, like the ebb and flow of light and, you know, rainbows and pulses of energy and the prana, and, you know, that stuff's alive. Mm-hmm. So I think that a lot of what this is about is bringing a new sense of aliveness, feelingfulness, artfulness into our relations. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mother Earth doesn't really deliver the wake-up call, because when the ground below you is shaking, you know, suddenly you're not thinking about anything now anymore except just surviving. So she's pretty good. I've been in major earthquakes too, so I assure you that it's a profound wake-up call when those things happen, just like I suppose it would be if somebody rear-ends you, you know, on the way to work. But when the whole earth is shaken and, you know, the dotted the yellow line on the road is moved over 4 feet from mm-hmm. where it used to be,
yeah.
you think about, well, how much really moved? I mean, from here to San Francisco or what, you know? pretty amazing to see that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is. There's patterns in everything that you're describing there. The things that you were mentioning there, there's a reverberation that's happening even in those earthquakes, right? You know, we're and that's what's making all the waves that are going through the ground. There's this pattern in the way existence moves, and the way things respond, and in the way events occur, and so it seems like we're learning somehow suddenly to get our sea legs. There's a different kind of experience. There's a different layer of dimensions, or there's a different depth in what's going on, and we're paying attention to it. We're able to sense it. We're able to experience it. And to me, it's also we're experiencing how the things are all tied together, how they're all connected. You know, there's this sense of fractality that to me is starting to pervade so many different things. There's the fractal nature of, you know, of the planetary motion. There's the fractal nature of time as revealed in calendars and the patterns of Earth's, or, you know, the Earth orbit, the Moon orbit, and the orbital patterns of Mercury and Venus and Mars. And there's a resonance, the patterns that are happening here in our experience, just with us and the sun, those are in resonance with the patterns that exist from these other places in our solar system. That alone is such a huge revelation, the actual intuitive experience of, you know, what those patterns are, just that alone. Celestial mechanics is profound. It's absolutely beautiful when you get your own sense of it. So it seems, I guess that what I'm saying is that this thing, whatever is happening, is something that's already blooming in so many different places. It's almost like you can see it, and you can actually be blessed by it and bless it by seeing it wherever you see it. Behold it wherever you are, wherever you put your attention. Is a worthy place for your attention if it magnifies the radiance of the cosmos. If it magnifies the joy of existence, then it's a worthwhile place for our attention. So it looks like there's no end of things that we can look at, that we can attend to, in order to bring about a greater shining and blooming of this beautiful place where we are. And I think that there's something amazing about just discovering where we are, gaining our bearings. And
well, let me give you an example, bro.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about earthquakes and how for human beings, that can be very disconcerting and very, you know, very fear-provoking experience if the ground is shaking and moving underneath you. But, you know, on another level, we have earthquakes, too, inside us. And those earthquakes is called peristalsis. And then we also have other rhythms in our heartbeat and our breathing, set of rhythms. But peristalsis is a natural part of our functioning that we don't often pay attention to. But basically, peristalsis is just a series of earthquakes in our, you know, digestive apparatus.
Mm.
And so we have the capacity to totally understand the earth if we focus our attention on where we're similar to the earth.
Mm.
So if the earth shakes, you could say, I guess the earth wants us to look at our peristalsis. But, yeah, you know, I mean, if you're really listening, we're talking about listening people now, right? We're talking about people that want to embrace the light that's coming from the center of the galaxy and also, you know, are necessarily just beginning to make a voyage into their own peristalsis where no man has gone before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, if you enter the process with curiosity and attention, you can enter, you know, an exploration of your peristalsis or of your breath or anything with that openness, the curiosity, and the attentiveness to detail. That's not much different than a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
But when the enthusiasm, see, for me, I'm prejudiced because I wrote a book called Walk in Beauty, so I want to see the beauty everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine a scientist being able to see the beauty of all that has ever unfolded in the historical record, see it emerging now, and know that it's going to emerge in the future, and embrace all of that and say, this is good. It's worth protecting, you know, which, you know, really makes a lot of sense when you're talking about the earth. So perhaps the first place where this new scientific perspective is going to flex its muscles will be around the global warming and the deterioration of the planet. And I would suspect that is going to become really powerful here just shortly. I think it's just right around the bend that we're going to start seeing that.
Well, it seems that we are also simultaneously discovering our capacity to be able to not only awaken to our circumstance, but to respond. There are, what comes to me over and over again, that there's a range of tools available that are not yet used. Things that we have ready at our hands that we can begin to do, that we can begin to use. And it's not things that we have to design and build. These are things that we already have. And to me, attention is perhaps the most important and the most profound of all the tools available to us. And I think that we are just barely beginning to awaken to the great power of attention, both for the individual and certainly for the community and for the entirety of humanity and beyond. Attention is a very, very influential tool and energy. And it's not thinking about things. When you're attentive, your whole being is engaged.
Yeah, that's true.
Your life force is engaged. Your heart is engaged. Your perception certainly is fully engaged. You're engaged as a single moving knowing. You know, you're right there with it. That's attention. And I think we're having more opportunities. And I think that attention is what is always flowering, right along with the experience.
I find that my people on Twitter, my people I'm connected to, are definitely willing to reflect a good message. I try to put out, you know, hopeful, you know, good messages of compassion and love, and I get those reflected back all over the place.
Yeah.
Which makes me like Twitter.
Yeah. No,
let
I think.
Let me read you something quick.
Go ahead.
I got a couple of things here from Twitter.
Oh, good.
I'm going to, just like I said, I was going to do this way earlier, and boy, did we digress somewhere. But anyway, this is just a poetic take on what's happening. Slowly, the energy is getting freed up, while minds are getting made up. Going to make your move toward a new world order of love. Yeah.
Nice.
For me, what we're referring to there is, and I know you agree with this too, that what we've been talking about in the charts recently has been about a phenomena. Now we're at 29 degrees to get these big players are at 29 degrees, getting ready to graduate in a new sign. So we're in the final phase of a sign and get ready for a sign change. And so when I talk about, slowly the energy is getting freed up, it's like every one of these little retrograde places we go to where we have to contemplate our lives and maybe, you know, put the past in order. And that's been going on a lot. A lot of soul searching has been going on with this recession, you know. And now I think people are starting to make up their mind that they want to have a shift and they want to do something. They have it in mind, and so they're going to make their move. And, you know, I'm hoping we're going to move more toward a world, a new world that's a world that's full of love instead of fear and combativeness. So, happy to share that with you.
I'm glad you did, because I think that knits so beautifully with what I was kind of going with there a few minutes ago about attention. Attention's very much about what the heart. If your heart's not functioning, if it's shut down with fear, you can't be very attentive. You're not able to flow with what your experience is. And the tool that allows you to flow with your experience, that is the lubricant for the wheel of attentive creativity, is your breath. If your breath is moving, if your breath is fluid, it allows you to deal. It's like it's a key that opens your experience itself.
So it's like a butterfly hopping from flower top to flower top.
Yeah. So there's a magic right inside us that we're just barely beginning to discover. And it's something that doesn't cost a dime. And matter of fact, it's a lot more fun than anything you can find on television. And all you do is go outside. Go out and enjoy the rain. Go out and enjoy the sunshine and the clouds. Go out and enjoy some stars. They're beautiful out there tonight. There's just listen to us for a while or take us outside with you. But there's a great, great radiance surrounding you, filling you. It's full in your experience. And so it's also your beingness, your existence. Your existence is the fullness of all of your experience together and everything that's known everywhere. So we have this amazing thing. To me, it seems something that's very worthy of celebration, something that naturally does result in greater joy and in greater love, just like you're alluding to there, Tiger.
Well, let's also give a standing ovation to the people who will have the courage to stand in there to pay attention. Because I don't think that this process is just going to be an exercise in detachment, because it's going to be more like a river in flood carrying a bunch of logs down it, you know, and you're right in the thick of that, and having to muster the courage to be in the middle of that and not cut and run and just witness, just pay attention. That's going to be very interesting, because only the English are like that. they seem to be able to do that really well. But and that, this is going to be interesting, because your choice is to cut and run and let fear, you know, have to ride the wild boar of fear, you know. And that's what will happen if you cut and run. It'll take a lot of courage, and I believe, you know, those channels to our feeling have to open up so that we can let all those flow too. You know, we have to be malleable and flexible in the river of feelings, because I think a lot of those will be flowing through us, and we'll have to pay attention to those too.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like, you know, all these influences are calling forth a new man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The more technologically advanced cultures are creating lazy, slobbish people who've been desensitized, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They have so many things between them and their experience and the earth that they're just kind of like these water bugs that are just skimming around on the top of the pond. But they don't know the depths of the pond. They just skim around on the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one other one from Twitter. Alignment of energies, potentials, and vectors. The slingshot pulled back. The tensed arm shakes with anticipation. Timing is everything.
That's a lovely one. That's another Twitter one, huh? Very nice.
So, you know, not only are we witnessing and paying attention, we also are the conduit and the end expression of all these energies, all these potentials, and all the different directions they're going. And we're going to be the conduit for that energy. In other words, we're going to feel it. We're going to feel all of it, the tensions, the releases. And in the midst of all that, you know, we have to make our move. And so timing is everything.
We have challenges here, but I think what you're pointing out is that we also have resources. And perhaps we have the greatest resource we could ever hope for in, you know, the very living consciousness of our universe. It's a responsive, knowing universe, and I think that we're just in the midst of starting to experience that. It's always been awake, but now we're awakening to it. To its presence, to its consciousness. There's a much greater life that surrounds us that we're part of. So,
well, I'm kind of thinking that trying to introduce the intragalactic functions to incorporate that into my astrological viewpoint, and you know, it's a stretch, because when I was first coming up, this kind of stuff wasn't being talked about by astrologers.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, remember when the Catholic Church nailed Galileo for saying, it was Galileo or one of those guys who insisted that the sun was the center.
Yeah.
And not the earth. And so they were going to, they imprisoned him for that.
Yeah.
But now, if we see the center shifting again away from, and we haven't even explored our solar system, but to see the center shift to where it rightfully belongs, the center of the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my metaphor. This is how I'm starting to understand it. Our solar system is just like ducks and geese and, you know, grebes. They're all swimming around in a lake. And the movements, there's these movements that are happening that can be measured. Oh, let's put some swans in there, too. Anyway, you can measure these movements. But what's happening from the center of the galaxy is like it's like noontime with a bright sun.
Mm-hmm.
The sun and the energy from the center is illuminating everything and adding whatever the sun does, warmth, you know, light, energy. And I'm sure that the emanations from the center of the galaxy are different, you know. There will be different qualities associated with those. But it's somehow, to me, I saw it as being irradiated by that. And that's still part of the mix, too. You know, the goose is looking at the swan, but the goose has to know that something else is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the goose won't know. It's just the people that'll know. But probably the goose would. Maybe they'd honk more or something.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I mean, the goose, actually the animals are smarter than we are right now.
Yeah.
They're so stuck in our crystalline form and our you know, our conceit about where we are as civilization. You know, very, very self-righteous, mm-hmm. what we're pretending to be, considering what's going on with the human race.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the goose is smarter.
Well, we have this amazing thing going on. You know, it's been about 100 years, maybe just slightly less than 100 years, since we became aware that there are galaxies surrounding us and that we exist in a galaxy. That only came together for Western science in the last few generations, you know, that we've actually... So we've been awakening to that now, collectively. We've been awakening to these dimensions of existence, collectively, for four generations. We've had four generations. Now, you know, maybe it's going to take a few more generations until it really gets clear. But it seems like there's something that's becoming very clear in our experience now.
It's amazing to look at the history of what's happened in such a short amount of time. It's quite amazing. And then we can also see and appreciate the power of technology, which is just human intelligence finding an application.
Yeah.
That's all technology is. But it's amazing to see all that. And you know, to me, it's like people have two legs. In order to really make movement, in order to be able to be balanced and not fall on the ground, you have to have two legs. And I'd like to feel that we move ahead technologically because we're innovative and smart as a species. You know, we know how to tap novelty.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I would really like to see us, that other leg that moves us forward is basically our sense of self. Our sense of self and our sense of place and our sense of beingness that's not just associated with an intellect. That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see science and art be the two legs of the new man.
Mm-hmm.
And let us go forth. Let us go forth into the cosmos, or let us go forth into the wonderful realm of our peristalsis. Doesn't matter. Bottom of the ocean, you know, doesn't really matter. We are explorers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are. We've explored breath, and yoga explores and movement, and you know, we're an exploring race. We are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how we could possibly resist going out and exploring all that beauty that's everywhere around us and inside us. This is about also discovering the resonance within us that is that beauty as well. And it seems like it's coming out in all kinds of beautiful poetry and and music. And
I'd like to see a resurgence in music like we had in the 60s. I'd like to see that. That would really, to me, because the other thing to tell the folks is that Venus has been very highlighted here today, it seems like.
Yeah, tell everybody really quickly, because we're going to wrap it in a couple minutes. Yeah. But highlight that, because that's so beautiful, and it goes with the solar eclipse today. Please share a few words about that.
Well, it's Venus trine Jupiter, isn't it?
It was Venus square Neptune at the exact time of the eclipse.
Yeah.
And then a couple of hours later, like 3 hours later, it was Venus, it was Uranus-Jupiter exactly aligned and Venus exactly trining, exactly.
Okay.
So it started with...
I'll give you my wrap on that.
Go ahead.
Venus square Neptune basically says, you know, you'll fall in love with 10 people and only one will be the one. So there's the power. I'm speaking of basically our histories. You know, you can fall in love innumerable times, and often you fall in love with the illusion of the person you think you are attracted to.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, in relationships that in our relationships in the world and in our friendships and in these new budding friendships, there's going to be trials with those and trials about discernment. And this is good because it's the same thing. We're learning this from our politicians, basically. They're helping us be able to find out where the hot air meets the rubber on the balloon, you know, and so there's so much dissembling going on in our society, particularly among the high Saturnine leadership hierarchy. There's so much dissembling and delusional, spinning of tails type stuff that we need to become wise, discerning and wise about what truly an authentic relationship is, you know, who we'd like to be with. Now, so that's the condition. Okay, that's the advisory, and then what we really have, which is the juicy part, is Jupiter and Uranus conjoining while Venus is perfectly trining both of those guys. With that influence, what happens is just a wild, unimaginable new possibilities. And this is what I want to suggest to folks, is that when you have a new possibility, instead of saying, I'm tired, I don't think I want to, think twice about that. And right, the period that we're in now is a time of formulating new friendships and new associations, and whole new worlds open up too. So this is the time to pay attention to what intrigues you, what stimulates your interest, and not too far down the line from where your curiosity leads you and the interest is growing and becoming more substantial, you plant those seeds for the next cycle of your life and what you'd like to see unfold and happen. And that's very appropriate because Uranus is the planet it's associated with our hopes and dreams, the 11th house experience. So, and again, the Venus part is bringing the artfulness into life, walking gracefully, walking in beauty, seeing, you know, having the aesthetic sensibilities well defined and well developed. So it's exciting times. This is going to be an extraordinarily exciting time. Think twice before you turn down a new opportunity or an opportunity to do something new.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. The blessing of the abundant surprise. It's right here with us today. That's actually going on right now as we're speaking. So I'll have to wrap it there. I got to thank you. That was a real blessing tonight, and thank you for highlighting that beautiful event that's going on for us right now that started early this morning. Thank you so much. It's a real blessing and always fun to hang out.
Thank you, Tony. And just remember one thing. The goose and the peristalsis, they know what's happening.
All right. Excellent. And that was a recorded conversation from earlier this evening. I didn't have a chance to clean it up. It was just too quickly before the show. So sorry for the noise that's in there. That was me. I'm the culprit. But I thought that the conversation was a lot of fun. And it was, to me, you know, more than a little miraculous how this major, interesting and the thing about it, too, is it was a major celestial event, but it was very precise. And the fact that it's so close when it occurred this morning that we're still in it. And, you know, Venus trining the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, and everything's still very close to exact where it was this morning when the event actually occurred. And it all occurred right around the time of the eclipse. So I'll clean this one up a bit, and then I'll post it up there. So, well, it's been a real joy to be here with you this evening on this new moon night. And I hope that that new moon cycle, that new energetic vibe, is moving in a blessed direction for you. And that you know, your 2011 is getting off to a vibrant start. We certainly have that kind of influence that's present for us, and I think supporting us becoming more aware and moving in a good direction. And just remember that if things are a great struggle, or you know people, love people who are really in a place of deep sadness or fear or anger, your connection with them is something that's very, very important. And their connection with you is the same. And there's a way, without saying a word, that you can send them some energy and kind of draw out of them the strength that's inherent within them. And it's like a little prayer. And you kind of send this prayer from your heart, from the depths of your own soul to their soul without saying a word. You don't even have to see them. And when you do this, you breathe. And you call out of them not your expectation or not your desire for them, not even their desire for them. You invite the very best, the very most brilliant, the very most alive, the very most joyful and beautiful part of them. And just smile at it and encourage it. And it's in there. And it's somehow ready to flower. And every little bit of blooming brings out that much more in our world and in our universe. Thank you for listening tonight. It's a joy to be with you. God willing, I'll be back next Tuesday night. We'll hang out for another vibrational voyage. Thank you so much. God love you. God love us all.